If you've ever felt like you're not good enough or you don't belong, then you've probably been haunted by imposter syndrome. It's especially common among people who are intelligent, successful, and in a position of authority. And yes, that often includes business owners like yourself. Some of the common causes include low self-esteem, perfectionism, fear of failure, and lack of confidence in skills or abilities. But the most important thing to remember is that you're not alone. In today's episode, I'll uncover what this syndrome is all about and what you can do whenever it rears its ugly head and puts you at risk of not taking action. Let's jump in. Welcome to the Marketing and Me podcast. If you're eager to grow your health and wellness business via effective marketing methods while maintaining your own health and wellness, this podcast is for you. This show features a beautiful blend of guest and solo episodes covering marketing and business growth topics, as well as ways to improve your physical, mental, and emotional self. I'm your host, Leanne Shelton, a health and wellness copywriter and content marketing trainer at Right Time Marketing. And I'm here to help perfect your message, then find the right channels to send it out into the scary online world, with the ultimate goal of making it heard and seen by your ideal client. So feel free to book in a free 15-minute chat with me after listening to today's episode. The details are in the show notes. So yeah, today I wanted to talk to you about managing imposter syndrome. And while I don't claim to be an expert in this area, it's something I personally experience on an ongoing basis, and you probably do as well. And I recently ran a talk on the topic and was reminded of just how important it is for us to acknowledge that these feelings are very real and normal. Psychologists first described the syndrome in 1978, so it's been around for a while. But according to a 2020 review, up to 82% of people experience imposter syndrome at some point in their lives. So it's definitely not something that we've been able to eradicate since it was first described back then. And I'll go into the reasons why just shortly. A person with imposter syndrome has a sense of being a fraud, a fear of being discovered, and or difficulties internalizing their success. So if you've ever had that feeling of being found out, maybe you're doing a presentation and you're just waiting for someone to put their hand up, or in the Zoom room, ask you a question and put you in your place and make you feel like you have no idea what you're doing, or you know, you get a knock on the door and say, excuse me, we hired the wrong person, or you know, you're the wrong, you're the right person for this task, whatever it is. If you just have amazing achievements and you know you've done great stuff and you have people applauding you on what you've done, but you still keep thinking, I guess I did an okay job, and just kind of brushing it off. So Dr. Valerie Young, author of The Secret Thoughts of Successful Women, Why Capable People Suffer from the Imposter Syndrome and How to Thrive in Spite of It, has identified five types of imposters. So first of all, there's the expert. The expert will not feel satisfied when finishing a task until they feel that they know everything about the subject. The time spent searching for information can make it hard to complete tasks and projects. So this may be you if you find yourself constantly doing course after course and have actually met health and wellness business owners, maybe like yourself, that feels like they need more and more qualifications before you are considered good enough to take on clients or up your prices or start saying you offer something, right? Because I think what a lot of you guys forget is that these are just qualifications, right? But ultimately, your client just wants you to solve their problem. So don't focus on the methodology and all these different things you're learning. That's great. Ultimately, they don't care about that. They just want to know you'll use everything in your power to make them better. There's also the perfectionist. The perfectionist experiences high levels of anxiety, doubt, and worry, especially when they set themselves extreme goals that they are unable to achieve. A perfectionist will focus on areas where they could have done better rather than celebrate their achievements. Now, this one is the one that resonates most with me because I'm forever setting really high goals. And especially like in current times, we're in, I don't know how many weeks of lockdown, I've lost count. And I still have goals of what I want to do with my business. And I'm getting frustrated going, I want to do this perfectly and be a perfect mom and be a perfect business owner and be a perfect wife and be perfect. And it just becomes so exhausting. And, you know, you're just constantly in doubting, oh, could I have done something better? Is a client happy? All this kind of stuff. And then you're always thinking about when a project's done, how I could have done that better rather than celebrating that you got it done. There's also the natural genius. So natural geniuses master many new skills quickly and easily, and they may feel ashamed and weak when faced with a goal that is too hard. Learning that everyone needs to struggle to achieve some goals may help. So the natural genius is someone who maybe you are a quick learner and especially in your field expertise, you're really, really good at what you do, but you don't want to put yourself out there until you are a genius in the topic. It's a little bit overlapped with the expert one, but you may then feel, if you are then tackling something that seems too hard, you just feel embarrassed and you may not want to speak up to get advice because you're like, no, everyone sees me as being this just genius. Usually I can do this really well. Why can't I do this as well as everything else? Then there's also the soloist or the rugged individualist, as she calls it. So the soloist prefers to work alone, fearing that asking for help will reveal incompetence. The person may turn down help in an attempt to prove their self-worth. And this may come true or may be true for many of you out there in your business if you are a solopreneur right now. You may feel like you can't ask for other people to help you in your business. You can't push back on the client. Maybe you don't want to take on anyone else in the business because you're like, oh no, I have to do it myself and I don't want to feel like I can't do this myself, whatever it is. So maybe this one resonates with you. And then there's the superhero. And superheroes often excel due to extreme effort, as in workaholism, and this can lead to burnout, which can affect physical and mental well-being and relationships with others. And this is one of the reasons why I started this podcast, because I could see that this burnout was happening for so many of you guys in your health and wellness business. You're working so hard, maybe working all hours to suit your clients, the times that suit them, but then you are getting burnt out. And what is the point of that? So don't push yourself so hard and think, no, I've actually, and then feel guilty if you spent an hour of your day relaxing instead of serving another client. So do any of those sound familiar to you? The expert, the perfectionist, natural genius, the soloist, or superhero? Having a sense of self-doubt can help a person assess their achievements and ability, right? So that's a good thing. But too much self-doubt can adversely impact a person's self-image. Because, you know, if you're always feeling that you're not good enough and that your successes aren't really successes, and were perhaps accidental, and you're constantly worrying about being found out as a fraud, it's really exhausting and it's just not sustainable in the long term. You may be feeling there's people out there doing a much better job than you and they have the answers and you're faking it till you make it. But you know what? I actually heard someone say to me once that you only need to know 10% more than the people in the room or than your client. Now, I'm sure you know way more than your client does, right? But just knowing that if you at least know 10% more, then you are not a fraud. You do have something to offer. And I get those feelings sometimes when I'm about to, you know, run a webinar or something and thinking, oh, I've actually only really been dabbling in LinkedIn for 18 months, but someone out there has known this platform for 5 years. Who am I to talk? But no, I've been playing around with this space for a long time, Or podcasting, same thing, same amount of time. But I know what I'm doing. I know what works. I know how the processes work. So I can therefore talk about it and help others. So these feelings that you're having, they're completely normal, but they're unlikely to go away. Sorry to say. Because every time you step out of your comfort zone and try something new, like being promoted to a new position or starting to work with a much bigger client, your mind will naturally go into protection mode and make you doubt yourself. Because stepping out of your comfort zone is scary, so your mind is simply trying to keep you safe. You could even personify imposter syndrome and see her as a best friend rather than an enemy that has to be squashed. She is ultimately there to ask questions and ensure you're sure about your decisions because she doesn't want you to get hurt. She's not intentionally trying to cause drama and make you stop in your tracks. She's actually trying to support you and make you sure of your decisions. I once did a talk with the Speakers Institute when I did this 3-day boot camp on this actual topic. And I came up with this fun acronym around the whole imposter syndrome and the friendship element. And it is HUGS, H-U-G-S. So starting with H, hear what she has to say. What's the story you're telling yourself? What is the doubt that's creeping in? You understand where it's coming from. Is it based on something a friend, a parent, or a colleague once said, or a situation you were once in? G, go do it anyway. Because deep down, if it feels like the right thing to do, then tell your best friend, imposter syndrome, that you're confident in your decision and you're going to do it. And then after you've done HUG, you'll experience the S in HUGS, silence, because the voice will be quietened when you've done it. However, she'll only stay quiet for a little while until the next challenge arises or you step out of your comfort zone again. So then you repeat the process. Because those feelings of doubt going, oh, I can't do this. Oh, hang on a second. I just did it. She can't say anything else. It's done, right? Yes. And you may start thinking, oh, I could have done this better. As soon as those thoughts come in, go, hey, it's a learning opportunity. Next time I'll learn, I'll make a note of that, and I can do better next time. It's the whole progression, not perfection. So Chief Operating Officer at Facebook, Sheryl Sandberg, provides some tips on managing imposter syndrome in her book, Lean In. I've reflected on her advice and expanded with some of my own thoughts here. Okay, so this is how you can manage it. And they include giving yourself credit for your achievements rather than brushing them off. Don't be afraid to share your successes with colleagues or online. And appreciate the compliments rather than being self-depreciating about your accomplishments. The next one is accept that you'll make some mistakes sometimes, and that's okay. They'll teach you lessons and help you improve in the long run, like I was saying before. Don't pretend to be someone you're not. Just be that confident, smart woman you know you are. You got your position. You've chosen for the job for a reason. You are worthy. Also, know you're not alone and share any of these thoughts or doubts with others or journal about them. Give yourself advice on how to manage these feelings in the same way you'd give advice to others. Quite often the things we say to ourselves, we'd never say to our worst enemy. Stop idolizing others. This is a big one. They're not superhumans, just maybe a few years ahead of you. You don't know what mistakes they've made and experiences they've had. And they probably feel like imposters themselves, even today in whatever position they're in. So my advice is to stop accepting the stories that you've created for yourself. Don't limit yourself. Just because no one else in your social circle has reached this really high goal doesn't mean that you can't do it. Start hanging out with people who are constantly pushing themselves out of their comfort zones. And ask them about their own experiences with imposter syndrome, because I'm sure you're not alone. To finish off today, I encourage you to embrace imposter syndrome rather than fear it. Listen to what it's telling you, but also listen to your gut. If deep down you know you deserve to be where you are, then you're right. Accept the praise, celebrate your achievements, and keep pushing the limits. There are no glass ceilings, and you can do anything. And that's a wrap for today. Thank you so much for tuning in. You can find show notes for the episode at marketingandme.com.au. If you enjoyed listening, please subscribe and leave me a rating and review via iTunes, and grab a screenshot of this episode and share it across your socials. If you're interested in connecting with me, feel free to reach out via LinkedIn. Just search for Leanne Shelton and let me know you're a fan of the show. You can also find me on Instagram under LeanneShelton247, or book in a free 15-minute chat, because I'd absolutely love to chat about how I can help you grow a thriving health and wellness business. Until next time, I wish you good health and good wealth.